They can actually do this, not have to foreclose on the home, not have to go without meals. In the mortgage world, think about that. How does that work? You have to sell the home to get access to your equity. And people are emotionally attached to their home and they don't want to sell their home. This is where they brought their kids, or this is where they have family events. They don't want to sell their home. In the HELOC world, you don't have to. You can gain access to that equity and allow it to pay you in times that you need to survive versus those times that you need to thrive. So I get the question all the time, you know, this is all well and good while I'm earning an income, but wouldn't this be really bad and dramatic if I don't have an income and I'm in a HELOC versus a mortgage? Think about that logically. Which one has more flexibility than the other? Well, the HELOC has tremendously more flexibility than the mortgage does. I consider the mortgage, if you're a fan of the movie Goodfellas, is like Joe Pesci. You know, every month on the first, it's blank you, pay me, right? That was Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. Blank you, pay me. Blank you, pay me. That's the mortgage world. The HELOC world's not that way. There's a lot more flexibility and a lot of different ways that you can mechanize it so that it can pay you. Now, if you can answer all seven of these questions, then you absolutely can. Welcome to the Replace Your University podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Lush. And today I want to talk about what we call HELOC test, because we get a lot of people that approach us and say, man, I can go get a HELOC. That's easy. I'm not saying that that's difficult. It is not difficult to go get a home equity line of credit, especially in second lien position. To get one in first lien position, a little bit more difficult. But that's not really why we have a consultation company and why we help people. We help them navigate some very murky and turbulent waters when it comes to structuring and properly designing a home equity line of credit for your specific needs. And anyone that comes to us and says, hey, I've watched all of your content mathematically, I can't dispute this. This makes logical sense, and I want to do this for my own family. So why should I pay you? I think I should go at it alone. And we always ask these seven questions. And there's really more questions that we could ask, but these seven questions that I'm going to give to you today really help you understand how intricate and how, I don't want to call it difficult, but because once you understand the material and you understand the information and what we provide, it becomes really simple. So for instance, we have thousands of families that we've helped across America that all of our clients could answer these seven questions. This becomes elementary to them really within inside of the first 2 to 3 weeks of being a member of our community. So I'll start with the first question. The first question is, what index is best for the next 2 to 4 years? And a lot of people are just stuck on the term index. You know, when you have mortgages are tied to interest rates. HELOC rates can be tied to different indices, right? And I'll give you an example of different indices that a HELOC could be tied to. And quite frankly, a HELOC could be tied to crypto if you wanted to. And there's not a whole lot of state or federal regulations that, because a HELOC sits on a bank's balance sheet, it is their own asset. And these banks and credit unions can get entirely creative of how they structure these home equity lines of credit. So again, let me back up before I answer that question. That's number one. Is it's not like the mortgage industry. The mortgage industry, if you're talking about an FHA loan in New York, Florida, or California, there is no difference. The guidelines are 100% the same. Same when it comes to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginny Mae products, you know, VA, USDA. They're all the same. They all have the exact same guidelines. But when it comes to HELOCs, it's entirely different. It's just like the Wild Wild West of the mortgage days prior to 2008, prior to the Dodd-Frank bill. HELOCs sit on a bank's balance sheet. It is not insured or sponsored by the government. So banks can get really creative of how they structure these things, and they are vastly different. I don't like big box banks like your Bank of America, your Wells Fargo, Chase, U.S. Bank. They don't typically have, 9 times out of 10, really attractive and consumer-friendly home equity lines of credit. However, when you get at the community bank level and the credit union level, they become very consumer-friendly and very creative. The reason being is HELOCs are used as really a tripwire to get a banking relationship with that customer. So if they have a really cool HELOC, they don't make a lot of money on home equity lines of credit, but they offer this as a tool to get people in the door, because once you get a home equity line of credit, what is the next thing that you're going to offer that bank is your checking, savings, money market, CD accounts. That's what banks are starving for right now. You know, over the next 18, 24 months, you're going to have thousands of banks that will fold under larger banks or go completely out of business. Very few times do they go completely out of business. They usually have an asset on their balance sheet, and that's why other banks find them attractive, and they will gobble up these smaller banks. But a lot of banks right now are insolvent, where they have lots of money lent out, whether commercially or residentially, and other loans, whether it's business loans, et cetera, but they don't have enough in deposits to support that, because keep in mind, they're bound to what's called fractional reserve lending. So they can lend out 10 times what they have in deposits, but some of these banks have lent out 15, 20, 30 times what they have in deposits. So they are starving for your deposits, and they utilize home equity lines of credit as a way to get you in the door so they can gain advantage to your deposits. So back to the original question is, what index is best for the next 2 to 4 years? I'm going to give you examples of other indices that a HELOC could be tied to. Obviously, the most popular is prime rate. Well, when prime rate changes up or down, guess what? Your home equity line of credit can change up or down based on what the Fed determines the prime rate to be. Another one is COFI, cost of funds index. That's another index. SOFR, securities overnight funds rate. That is actually supposed to replace LIBOR, which is the London Interbank Offered Rate. My favorite actually is the 6-month T-bill. There's not a lot of banks out there that offer a home equity line of credit on the 6-month treasury bill. So as you can see, there's all kinds of indices that a HELOC could be tied to, and understanding how these indices move can determine how much interest you're going to pay. Some move wildly, some don't move much at all. So how do you tie your HELOC to the appropriate index, and what bank is offering a HELOC tied to that index? Number two, which bank are you going with that has the best offset accounting automation to help speed up the process another 15 to 20%, saving you thousands in interest? So let's talk about what offset accounting is. So if we know that money going into the HELOC first goes to the balance, not the interest, it goes to the balance, then we also know the inverse is true, that every time you use your HELOC for expenses, the balance is going up. So how can we gamify this and do what's called offset accounting so that our bills and expenses are paid somewhere else while our income is quickly deteriorating the principal balance of your home equity line of credit? And believe it or not, it may seem like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, but we've got tons of math on this to prove that depending on your situation, this can speed up the process another 15 to 20%. So let's say, you know, based on your financials, you look at the HELOC method versus the mortgage method, and you're like, hey, if I don't change anything, I can pay the home off in 10 years. Okay, well, what's 20% of that? That's 2 years. May not sound like a big deal, but when it comes to interest savings, it adds up to quite a bit of money, not to mention the time. Think of it this way. You're 8 years down the road and you're like, oh man, I can pay my house off. I've got one more payment to make and it's completely paid off. And as Dave Ramsey says, the grass feels greener when you step out into the yard for a home that's paid for free and clear. But then you remember, wait a minute, I didn't do offset accounting. I actually have another 24 payments to make before this is paid off. Well, now time starts to become more of a cost and more of something that is a pain than the actual dollars that it saved you. But both add up. So offset accounting and how to automate that is vitally important to gamify this process. If you understand that, kudos to you. 99% of Americans don't understand that. But again, it doesn't become difficult once you absorb some of our basic information of what that means and how to best utilize it. It is not hard information. The terminology may sound difficult, but it's just terminology and acronyms that anybody with a third grade level math education could understand and project out what it's going to do for you. Number three, what's your strategy to use a cash value policy or couple other products with a home equity line of credit? We're massive fans of whole life and infinite banking concepts. I understand there's a lot of people out there that hate on Whole Life. I get it. I understand that there's other products out there. I'm actually going through a pre-licensing course now where I'm understanding annuities, universal life, 403Bs, 401Ks, self-directed IRAs, etc. It's, believe it or not, it's actually fun. I know a lot of people wouldn't think that, but because of the world I live in, I'm actually getting a lot of good information out of this, and I'm moving on to take my test to become licensed. Now, I'm not going to personally offer any of these products, but we have a business that does, and I just think it's prudent that if I'm going to talk about these topics, I should also be certified to talk on these products too, not just someone that executes on these and uses it with inside of my family, but I've also been licensed. There's a lot of financial entertainers out there that talk about financial topics that they don't really have any certifications to talk on. But believe it or not, you can actually couple these insurance products with your home equity line of credit and again, gamify to accelerate the process of not just paying off your home, but also generating a legacy for your family. And there are ways to do that. So that was number three. Number four, what is the bank's deferral policy and when should you close to skip 2 months payments? Now, skipping 2 months payments actually doesn't save you money. It just gives you a grace period. And some people need that. They just want to take a breather. And believe it or not, despite what the deferral policy is with the bank, we can show you when to close so that you have 2 months with no payments. We've actually shown some clients how to purchase a home, then refinance the home within 2 months of purchasing it. And you're probably thinking, why would you do that? There's no closing costs. We show them how to do it with zero closing costs. So it's no money out of pocket, nor does it get tacked onto the loan, but how to refinance after purchasing the home. And they actually can get up to 4 months of their new home with no payments. And some people will just enjoy that grace period. And like I said, it technically does not save you money. It just can alleviate some stress. Number five is that if you have plans to leverage your home equity line of credit to accumulate cash flow assets to speed up the payoff process, what is your plan? And do you realize that you can do that? Because keep in mind, a home equity line of credit is a HELOC, right? It's a line of credit that as you pay down the principal, you still have access to the original line limit. And you can actually speed up the payoff process by leveraging that equity to buy cash flow assets. There's the key word, cash flow assets. You have to understand what a cash flow asset is. So you could buy another business, you could buy rental properties, you could buy other investments that produce a passive monthly income. The higher your monthly income is, guess what happens to the deterioration of the principal balance of the HELOC? It drives it down faster. So believe it or not, you can actually leverage debt to buy more income. The more income you have, the faster you pay off the debt. But guess what you're left with after you pay off the debt? The cash flow asset. And you can repeat and rinse and do this over and over and over again so that hopefully you get to a point where you're like, you know what? My passive income is earning me more money than my active income. That's true financial freedom. All right, number six, have you considered rate stacking to further minimize the interest expenses? Rate stacking. Now, again, don't let the terminology scare you, but what that means is HELOCs, lots of banks have flooded the market with what we call promo rates, promotional rates, introductory rates. What that is they will offer a really low teaser rate for a certain period of time, 12, 24, we've seen 5 years. So banks have flooded the market with this because interest rates have skyrocketed, so they still need new customers in the door. And again, they're still utilizing HELOCs to get people in to get their core deposits. So banks have gotten creative on the marketing side to make things more consumer friendly, and they've offered promotional interest rates. So let's just give an example, 1.99 for 12 months. And what we call rate stacking, you could take a bank that offers 1.99 for 12 months, and on the 11th month, guess what? As long as they're still offering it, you could refinance. As long as there's no closing costs attached to it, you could refinance to another 1.99 for another 12 months. So if you thought mortgage rates were low in 2020, you should check out promotional interest rates and introductory offers on home equity lines of credit, because they don't have the same closing costs associated as mortgages do. So it doesn't, in the right way, you won't incur those additional closing costs to just leapfrog from one to the other to the other. And again, the whole market is your world. You don't have to just deal with just one lender. You could go to multiple banks and credit unions to effectively do this. The last question is, have you thought about structuring your HELOC as an insurance policy, quote unquote? It's not technically an insurance policy, but I'm using that as a generic statement. Structuring your HELOC as an insurance policy to replace your income in times of need. A HELOC properly structured with the right credit union or community bank can actually produce an income for you. It's not ideal, but let's just say you're furloughed, you were laid off, and now you've got tons of equity in your home. In the mortgage world, do you have access to that equity if you've got a massive loss of income? No, because if you want to refinance to get access to that equity, you've got to prove your ability to repay. But if you've lost your income, you don't have that proof. So you don't have access to your equity. In the HELOC world, you've proved that ability when you closed initially. So let's say this happens 3 years down the road. Now you've got half of your home paid off, but you still have access to that equity, and something bad happens where you need some breathing room. You can actually mechanize your HELOC to not only not make payments to it, but for it to make payments to you. This is called surviving, not thriving. Again, it's not ideal because if you're doing this, the principal balance of your HELOC is ticking up. But we've shown clients, especially during COVID, where their HELOC can actually sustain their lifestyle for the next several years. It's a blip on the radar. Now, most people are not going to sit on the sideline for several years before they go get more income. They may have 6 months. They may have a year at most. They're not going to sit on the sidelines for 5, 6, 7 years and just let their HELOC feed them. So they can actually do this, not have to foreclose on the home, not have to go without meals. In the mortgage world, think about that. How does that work? You have to sell the home to get access to your equity. And people are emotionally attached to their home and they don't want to sell their home. This is where they brought their kids, or this is where they have family events. They don't want to sell their home. In the HELOC world, you don't have to. You can gain access to that equity and allow it to pay you in times that you need to survive versus those times that you need to thrive. So I get the question all the time, you know, this is all well and good while I'm earning an income, but wouldn't this be really bad and dramatic if I don't have an income and I'm in a HELOC versus a mortgage? Think about that logically. Which one has more flexibility than the other? Well, the HELOC has tremendously more flexibility than the mortgage does. I consider the mortgage, if you're a fan of the movie Goodfellas, is like Joe Pesci. You know, every month on the first, it's blank you, pay me, right? That was Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. Blank you, pay me. Blank you, pay me. That's the mortgage world. The HELOC world's not that way. There's a lot more flexibility and a lot of different ways that you can mechanize it so that it can pay you. Now, if you can answer all 7 of these questions, then you absolutely don't need us. And you should go do this. You've already probably proved to yourself mathematically that, yeah, this makes logical sense. I need to go do this. But does it make sense for me to employ someone to help me through this maze? And if you can answer these 7 questions, then you don't need us. You should do it on your own. However, most people cannot, and that's who we service. We love to help them, and we love to show them how to not only be debt-free, retire early, but also generate wealth for their family and ultimately a legacy. Y'all take care. God bless.